on the speed of trust.
So good to be back with you today and celebrate this beautiful Sunday with the sun shining, and good to see so many people here too. Very happy to be here. The speed of trust is faster than I am. I will say that. Recovering from my hip surgery, it's been a good recovery, and I'm doing lots more, so yay. But it is a journey, as many of you know, that have had any kind of surgery or replacement of a joint or anything. It's quite the journey, and to do it in winter, that's really fun. So much of what we've been talking about today in our music and in the readings are what I think of as a really pillar of the Unitarian Universalist Church, which is the interconnected, interdependent web of life. So I started thinking about trust as the strands on the web, because it links us all together. When there is trust, there is connection. When there is a lack of trust, there is a break in the web. So we are all intimately connected on this web of life. So what I'd like for us to do is imagine the creator of this sacred web. This is a weaver of trust. This is a spiritual concept, because as many of the readings talked about, it's belief in the impossible, the absurd, the unusual. It's taking a leap of faith when there is no reason to do it and no thought about what might happen. So trust allows us to do that, and there's this weaver of the trust, and the strands of trust that connect us to our home, which is inside us, so self-trust, connects us with our families, so our intimate relationships with each other, and also relationships with anyone in our communities. So today I want us to focus a little bit on our home, our sense of home within ourselves, so that self-trust. Because without self-trust, we can project that onto anyone and then be scared, paranoid, frightened of change, frightened of all of the things that I'm not so sure I believe, I'm not so sure I can trust. I think we're all in a time when a lot of us feel that way. Anyway, so I'm hoping that we can build this sense of responsibility to trust ourselves in this environment that we're in, whatever environment. Could be conflicts at work. It could be broken relationships in our families, because many of us are divided along political lines in our families, and it breaks our hearts. So in this web of trust, the sacred weaver is weaving trust and encourages us to find our role, our place in the family of things. As our dear friend likes to write, the wild geese, Mary Oliver, she points us to finding our place. It's important to find our place, because when we are in our place, in a sense, when we're surrounded by like-minded people, when we have that sense of trust within ourselves, it's not hard to trust. It's actually not work at all. We simply, only, this is also in a reading today, have to be ourselves. And if I can't trust myself, how can I be myself? I want to be somebody else. Oh, he does it so much better than I do. I would love to be like him. He plays the guitar so much better than I do. I could never lead a song here. Oh, she does it so much better than I do. And I'm just all thumbs. Coming across as weak, coming across as untrustworthy. So finding our place in the family of things is where we can be ourselves, and our gifts are not simply appreciated, but they're needed, wanted. Please, please bring that. Keep working on that within yourself. It's the external validation is important to building self-trust. When I am among people that can't receive my gifts, I feel like I am untrustworthy. So if we can just kind of think about how do we use our gifts for the good of the whole? How do we cultivate our gifts for our own enjoyment, our own blessing? When we do this naturally, we weave this web of blessing. So when I look around here at this church, I experience this and glimpse the web of blessing. It is people celebrating. This is the church. We don't have to be anything different. We don't have to get more young people or more of wealthy people or more of anything. This is the church. And each person here has a role and a part in it. And I almost brought my red thread back from that last one. So when you think of holding your place on the web and it's all interconnected, there has to be a tautness to it. There has to be a balance. We have to hold it in a certain way that says, I am here, I'm holding my corner of it, and I'm contributing my special gifts to it. And I'm also willing to learn about the rest of the web and your gifts and see how we co-create this interconnected, interdependent web of life here in this little spot. And then our little spot connects with other little spots that starts to weave a bigger web where we're all holding our little pieces of it. And I think this is delightful that we can be part of something humongous right here, like the big is small and the small is humongous. Because we're doing it in our little microcosm right here, right now. We are supporting one another. We are bringing our gifts. We are sharing our gifts, being ourselves. So other times, though, not so easy. We struggle. Communities struggle, tensions pull or push us. There are power grabs. And so think of the web when someone grabs the power and pulls, what happens to the web? Some of it collapses. People who don't have a strong hold have to let go. They can't hold up their piece of it. When one of us drops off, it affects the rest of us. So this web of trust is connected to other values and principles we hold dear. And so when there are power grabs, I'll just use that as an example, love, justice, and truth become the pillars of our ability to care for the web. So love as in compassion for those who are who weren't able to hold on. They're weaker. They love for ourselves when we're not able to hold on, when we are weaker. And strengthening, getting strength from the web means there's a voice that stands for justice, that helps people take back that part of their responsibility on the web. So being a calm, settled body, advocating for peace, that's justice. Being a loud, settled body, because sometimes people don't hear. Like Bloody Sunday, there had to be a loud, settled body that protected people marching so that their voices could be heard, the right to vote could be granted, and our government stepped in to protect people, to make sure their voices were heard. That's the web at work. Not just, it's love is there, and justice is love and action. And so the loving thing to do is to protect and to serve and to care for people. So whether you're calm and settled, I tend to be in that category a lot, or whether you're loud and settled, still grounded in your truth. And that's the important part, love, justice, and truth. We seek truth. We love ourselves and others. And we speak out for truth, for justice. So the title of this, The Speed of Trust, comes from Stephen Covey's book. It's an older book now. I use it with students. I mean, every time I speak to you, you're probably going to get stuff I use with students because I'm teaching myself all the time. The more I read some of the same old things, the more I learn, the more I hear, the more appropriate it is for my life. But this one, The Speed of Trust, Stephen says, it's trust that changes everything. So the speed of trust is rapid, and then it just comes quickly. Like, we know intuitively that we can trust each other. We know intuitively that this person is speaking truth. Somehow, some reason, it resonates within us. And it's intuitive. So that speed is quick. And then that means that people, if they break trust, then we have to repair it. So when the web is broken, it must be repaired. So it comes in waves, and then the first wave is trust in self. And the principle that he connects to that is personal credibility. So being congruent with your word, knowing what you know and speaking that credibly, know your sources. People quickly trust congruent people. Now, what do I mean by congruent? They're smiling and they're happy. They're frowning and they're angry. Their heads are low and their bodies are bent and they're sad. The body language looks like the emotion they're feeling. I believe in truth, and they're saying it responsibly. They're saying it confidently. I trust that. So let your yes be yes, your no be no. Old advice. That's congruence. They behave this way consistently. And I can trust that. I can trust some people not to be my ally. I can trust that. I can trust some people to be my ally. So the second wave in the web is relationship trust. and the principle of behavior. So I'm just going to mention this. And I know that I'm going to be part two. I'm going to do part two to this theme of the speed of trust because I can't do it justice today. But behavior follows self-trust. When I am congruent, I develop relationships of trust. So talk straight. Say what you mean. In confusing speech, people get lost. Respect one another. And these are all things we learned in kindergarten, right? Speak honestly, demonstrate respect, create transparency. I want to be real with you. This is how I really think. This is how I really feel. When we share things together, like in the music today, I can know your mind. I can know what you're thinking. That's important. Confront reality. Clarify expectations. A lot of times miscommunication is we don't know what we expect from one another. Practice accountability. Listen first. Listen first. Keep your commitments and extend trust. So the leap of faith is to extend trust, first thing. And in that trust, we then begin to listen to one another. And if we're both listening, we can build that relationship. Now, I recently visited my high school friend. We have rather opposite views on things often. But I trust her because she speaks her mind. She tells me the truth as she understands it. And we don't have to convince each other of each other's truth. And every time I talk with her, and it's not easy, but every time I talk with her, I deepen my understanding of the rift, the thing that has broken our web of trust in this country and could break the web of trust between us. And it's scary to really voice these things. But this covenant we have with each other is we're not going to convince each other. But I learn more and more that part of our country gets news from one source and part of our country gets news from the other source. And they're not hearing each other. So how can there be trust when we don't even start on the same playing field? So for me, and I want to encourage all of us to do this, listen first. And then the big picture, the 30,000-foot view, comes into sight that we're not even on the same playing field. And then when we can talk about that dynamic, we can build trust. We can. So I'm going to stop there with the book and this leap of faith. I want to encourage us to be co-weavers of this web. When we are co-weavers of the web, we can seek to repair it. Where people have been able to hold on to their portion, even with power grabs, support them. Listen to them. What is it like to march downtown for women's rights? What is it like to remember Selma 60 years ago? What is it like to think about any of the things that we are so passionate about and get involved with? What is it like to call our Congress representatives? What is it like to share your truth and to speak out? When we can hear one another and support one another doing that, we learn, we grow, we get stronger. And where people have not been able to hold on, listen first. Hear with understanding, with love, with compassion. Speak out with justice to take action on behalf of those who cannot act for themselves. In that very act, then we become clear and clearer about truth. So we are co-weavers of this web. We hold a portion of the web that is our own responsibility to trust ourselves and to build trusting relationship. This is the web of blessing. Where there is confusion, sow truth. Where there is persecution, sow justice. Where there is hatred, sow love. As we look around here, we can see glimpses of this universal web of blessing. We are bound by our love, our yearning for justice, and our search for truth. No.
I just feel overwhelmed and depressed, actually.
Yeah.
And you didn't mention this word, although it's ingrained in everything you said, that's truth or honesty.
Yes. It's real.
it's sad, and I don't know how we're going to get out of this.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. Honesty is part of it, and it's also integrity. That's really essential in integrity. And if I don't know my own self sense, if I don't have that groundedness, then I can't be honest because I don't know. And then I'm confusing. But there are bad actors that are deliberately being dishonest. And that's the discernment piece. And I think I grew up with a song where whatever any of it is, it begins with me. So if I've got that within myself, then I can seek out truth. And it resonates with me when I hear it. It's a spiritual thing.
The word that I use is a measure of all the things that have been going on in the last year or two, and now eight. Character. I look for character.
That's a good word.
Be the talking stick.
Yeah.
The one thing you mentioned that I'm going to have to really mull over a lot is the idea of the playing fields and the view from 30,000 feet. I'd never thought about it that way, but I can't talk anymore.
I'll loan you the right.
You've got the floor.
Yeah.
There we go. I got it working. I've been involved with soccer at least half of my life, one way, shape, or form, as a player, as a coach, both. And I think about that game, and I think about it being played on a field here, for example, and on a field in Colorado. And if there had never been standardization of any rules, let's say that those games were developing, they knew that they were playing soccer, but beyond that, the rules of the game were pretty much shaped by what was happening locally on that field or in that town, they'd be playing two very different games. And I don't know. I don't have anything profound to say about that other than I'm going to have to think about that a lot, that politically and socially, I think we're in the same situation where there's not standardization of some of the values, and that's led to different games being played in different places. And the view from 30,000 feet, you can see that better.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you for that. I have been realizing that this has historically been developing through our experiment for democracy. Like, what are the rules? How can we agree upon them? And we're ever changing. And the only constant, that can be trusted is change. Is what we can. Everything will change. So we're constantly being required and needing to change with it. And there's the hard part. There's so many don't want to change, don't see a need for it, or taking big leaps that people aren't keeping up with. Yeah.
Yeah, so I've been thinking a lot about these lately in terms of the political context, and one of the thoughts I keep coming to is that we, as human beings, all across whatever political spectrum, one thing you can almost always get everyone to agree on is that we shouldn't hurt other people.
Yeah.
Like, we shouldn't hurt other people. But I feel like now we have leadership that thinks it's fine to hurt other people, like, as long as it's in their interest, and that we haven't yet made the people who have supported that, they're not supporting hurting other people. They're supporting like lower level interests that, that in their minds don't quite add up. They're hurting other people. And they don't yet see that that's what that's about. And it's like terrifying to feel like you see that and just like are looking at everything that's being lost and truly, truly in the interest of hurting everyone but themselves, like, because it's a power money grab, so it doesn't, the human beings don't matter.
That's like Sam's local game. You play a local game, it doesn't translate to other games. I agree. I'm going for the 30,000 foot view. I think whenever we can comment on a dynamic, even it with relationships, when we can see what's happening and how it's happening, that's when a lot of systems are able to get a balance back and speak to the issues rather than attack the persons. And that's, as a chaplain and an educator, I do that. And it's almost magical when people begin to see the dynamic instead of the individual issues only.
I haven't managed to do this yet, but I've read a couple of places where if you want to sit down and talk to somebody on the right, you tell them you ask them to tell you their story, and you tell them your story about how you got to believe what you believe. And when you listen to people's stories, generally you'll listen to each other with respect. And I think one of the things that we can do to save this company, and I ran into a woman and her daughter at Kroger last night, and I told the woman, if this was the middle of the day and you and I both had time, I'd love to sit down and hear your stories about how you came to believe in supporting Trump and tell you my stories. And I think when we find an opportunity, somebody friendly and can do that, I think it would do a lot to heal the nation.
Yep. There's a TV show on now, 1923, the precursor to Yellowstone. And if anybody's watched it, it's a very hard show to watch. Mm-hmm. And this is back when the horses, the cars are coming on the scene, people are just now being introduced to electricity and a washer and dryer and refrigerators and things like that. So there's a lot of change happening. And one of the rich men I won't go into details on the what he did, but he intentionally set up this woman to start to enjoy her power over someone else in a very brutal way. So he knew to, like, by forcing her to do it to begin with, and then speaking to her in certain ways, that it grew the devil on the shoulder part of all of us, right? And it gave her permission to allow that mean, nasty, power-hungry part that I think is in us all, it gave her permission to grow that and own it and be okay with it. And I feel like so much of that is what is happening now. And it tips the scales in ways that aren't fair, and we lose all this sense of humanity in that. It's a very, and the concept of me being out for me and my land, protecting my family, to hell with everybody else, because I have to protect my family. It's all about me and what's good for us. And it sets up this me-them dynamic. It's very fascinating. It's a hard show, though, I tell you. But it makes it a little bit clearer about a lot of the dynamics that we don't normally, like, see.
Yeah.
I feel in this political climate, it's really easy to get tired and shut down emotionally. But it is really important, like what we're doing today, to come together and try and, like you were saying, weave that web of community. And I work in the trades as an electrician, so I work with a lot of people who don't see the world the same as I do. Conversations with people who did vote for Trump. And we, like, sit down, and sometimes I get them to see, you know, how I think about things. And it is hard to have that conversation initially, but it gets a little bit easier. But initially, I really don't want to have that conversation, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But once you...
Wonderful.
Yesterday, early evening, Channel 20 had Rick Steves' hour-long treatise on fascism, current days. And it's very clear, you know, that what was happening there is also happening here, and it's based on fear. And be the opposite of fear. And we have to be on the side of love.
Yes. Yeah. Thanks for making that connection.
Anybody else? Oh, Rosie's got something else too.
Yeah, I gotta look up my sign. Oh, is it your Joyce? Sorry. Do you want me to let you share it? Okay. I'm going to let Colleen share this during Joyce and Concerns.
Right. Thank you so much, Reverend Price.
Thank you.
Our community cares about the significance.